Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the FY19 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Dr. Adir Shiffman. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Catapult's 2019 financial results call. I'm Adir Shiffman. I'm the Executive Chairman of Catapult, and with me is Jim Orlando, who is Catapult's interim CFO. We'll take you through these results, which I'm extremely pleased to be able to share with you today. I'll start off by speaking about some of the performance. I'll hand over to Jim, who will speak about the financial results before I'll take it back for a summary, and then we'll have some Q&A at the end. I'll talk you through which page in the deck we're after, and we're going to be going through the deck that was lodged with the ASX this morning. We're at the cover page that says FY19 results. If we turn over to the first page, section marked page two. This is just a reminder that we're a business that is extremely focused on our mission, and our mission is that we exist to build and improve the performance of athletes and teams. If we look at page three, it's just an image. If we go to page four. Page four is an important summary to remind people of what the Catapult business is actually all about, and there are three hallmarks of this business. Firstly, we are a high-growth recurring revenue business with a significant revenue base now of recurring revenue, high margins, and low churn, and we are growing strongly. Secondly, we are the global market leader across the segments in which we operate, and we are the clear global market leader as well. Thirdly, the business is now transitioning and passing an inflection point of scalability, and that scalability means that we have an increasing gap between the growth of our revenue and the falling rate of growth of our expenses. The consequence of that, I'm extremely pleased to announce, is that FY19 was our first year of positive group EBITDA, and that's a tremendous achievement for the business and something we're extremely proud of. That was driven on the back of some really strong results. We had 24% growth of revenue across the business, 24% growth in ARR, a 73% gross margin. We're almost at 3,000 teams after growing by 1,100 teams in FY19, and our churn rate on subscription wearable units fell from 8.4% to 5.2%. What we're seeing with this business is growth across all parts of the business, a transition to positive EBITDA, and the scalability of this business kicking in, and we are seeing accelerating growth in that key elite wearable segment. I'll talk more about these things, but really across the business, we and I am extremely pleased to be able to present these FY19 results. If we look at page five, what we see is continued strong revenue growth with that positive EBITDA, and here you can see some FY19 performance versus FY18. You can see that 24% increase in annualized recurring revenue to more than 66 million dollars. Revenue that is rapidly approaching 100 million dollars at 95.4 million dollars, again, up 24%. You can see a 6 million dollar improvement in that group EBITDA, and that is what's taken us so strongly into positive EBITDA. In a few slides' time, I will also show you that, in fact, on the next slide, I'll show you the improving incremental yield we're getting with regards to EBITDA. Let's turn over to page six. On the left-hand side, you can see the improvement in EBITDA over the last three years. Moving from approximately -4 million dollars in FY17 to -2 million dollars in FY18, and now to +4.1 million dollars in FY19. On the right-hand side, what we want to demonstrate here is just how efficiently that scalability is kicking into the business. Those left two bars for FY18 and 2019 show the revenue incremental growth we had in each of those years. We had 12.4 million dollars of revenue growth in FY18 and 18.6 million dollars in FY19. On the right, what you can see is the incremental EBITDA yield that that incremental revenue has delivered. We achieved 2 million dollars of EBITDA off the 12.4 million dollars of revenue growth in FY18, and that's a 16% yield. In FY19, that yield doubled to 32%, and that means that the 18.6 million dollars of incremental revenue we generated in FY19 delivered 6 million dollars of EBITDA in this same year. And so that is the classic hallmark of a business that is passing the inflection point to scalability. And this is precisely what we were aiming for with this strategy back in 2012, frankly, of transitioning to a subscription software-dominated business. And today, subscriptions account for 70% of the group revenue of Catapult. So it's an exciting time in the history of Catapult. And on page 7, you'll see some of the other achievements that we reported in FY19. So I mentioned, you know, substantial team growth, 1,100 teams to almost 3,000. The next point in that top left sector under customer is very significant. So we talk about our strategy of owning the performance technology stack. And in FY19, at the end of FY19, 153 teams had more than one product with Catapult. And the wonderful opportunity there, and I'll talk more about that in a couple of slides' time, is there's still more than 2,800 teams that are our existing clients with whom we have good relationships, but there is a tremendous opportunity because they only purchased one product from Catapult. It's a wonderful cross-sell opportunity in the business. And you can see that we continued to sign league-wide and aggregated deals across the year. If we move over to the right-hand heading of product, FY19 was also a year where we brought a significant number of new product or material product enhancements to market. It was a strong R&D year for us. So we launched Vector, which is the seventh generation wearable product, and it's not just a product, it's a whole platform at this ultra-premium end of the elite wearables market, and we had first sales of that product. And if I'm going to be, again, candid with you, you know, we hope to release that product the third quarter of the fiscal year. We released it in the fourth quarter of the fiscal year. It's effectively the reason why we had 18% ARR growth rather than 20% ARR growth. It was down to one quarter a delayed release of Vector. We also had the first sales of the enhanced Catapult Vision product, and we had sales across all geographies with Catapult Vision. And that's an important step for us because historically our video business has had North American clients. And this has enabled us to take the first steps in internationalizing this video product into more markets and across more global sports. We also launched Playtech Plus, and you'll see the strong performance of Playtech Plus and what that's enabled us to do. And we launched Player and Enhanced Player into the consumer market, as well as a heap of software enhancements across the year. And down the bottom, you'll see our results versus guidance, and that will match with our reported results. And so we guided to elite core revenue of $86 to $88 million, and we achieved guidance almost smack bang in the middle of that guidance range. We guided to elite core underlying EBITDA of $11 to $13 million, and we had a substantial rise in that elite core underlying EBITDA and were almost at the top of that range with $12.7 million. And we saw ARR accelerating from 16% growth in FY18 to 18% in FY19, although we did guide to 20% there. And I was candid with you about, you know, why we didn't get to that 20%. We've seen good momentum in Vector sales going into FY20, to be clear about that. So that was a timing issue. And again, that marries across to revenue growth of 24% at the reported level and a $6 million improvement in EBITDA and a 24% growth in ARR to $66.1 million. If we turn across to page 8, these are really strong results, and the next few pages are going to give you some insight into how we achieved these strong results. And the first way we achieved them is we continued to cement and extend our global leadership. And these pie charts simply illustrate that we have grown in all geographies internationally, and we have grown across a very large number of sports. So we are not seeing growth in just one geography or from just one sport. We are seeing growth across the market and the sports in which we already have leadership positions. And that is a very encouraging performance result to be able to report for FY19. And on page 9, the other way that we are driving these strong results is that we continue to expand and enhance our unique full stack solution to teams. And that is a material long-term competitive moat that we have been very deliberate around our strategy in being able to build out. And I mentioned, you know, I won't do a huge recap of what I've already said, but we launched, you know, a couple of new wearable products through the course of the year. We enhanced our vision product, and that continues to improve. And we also enhanced the athlete management system as well, and saw some good growth out of that as well. So we have geographical and sport leadership. We have product leadership, and we are focused on continuing to be the global leader in innovation in the sectors in which we operate. If you turn over to page 10, you know, this is the tremendous opportunity that we see going into FY20 and beyond. So, you know, this bar graph demonstrates the number of teams we have with 1, 2, and 3 products across the Catapult stack. And what we have tried to convey in a crystal clear manner is just the immense revenue and profitability leverage we get as teams purchase more than one product from us. And the number that I want to convey is that those teams that have already purchased or subscribed to 2 or 3 products with Catapult spend on average 8 times the expenditure per annum that Catapult gets from its client with a single product. And so this cross-sell opportunity is huge for the business. And as I said, there are more than 2,800 teams that already have a relationship with Catapult. We are already supplying a great solution to them, but they are only buying one solution from the business. And we see this as a real opportunity for growth going into FY20 and beyond. And if we look at slide 11, this just reinforces the comments that I've made. And I think it's easy to miss this in the results, so I want to reinforce this, which is this inflection point that we're passing through on the scalability of the business. And what this means is it is typical of businesses that derive the majority of their revenue from subscription software. It means once they pass through this inflection point around costs, you know, the economics of the business changes very quickly. And what we can see here is that operating expense to revenue continues to fall, that labor expense to revenue had a significant fall. And again, I want to reiterate this point so it can't be missed. We are seeing a widening gap in this accelerating growth of revenue and the falling growth rate of our expense line. And it is that opening up of that gap that has driven us to positive EBITDA and will continue to drive us through positive EBITDA, and that is driving us so hard towards positive free cash flow across the group. And the last couple of slides for me before I hand over to Jim, so just to talk about prosumer. So, you know, we were very clear in conveying through earlier on this fiscal year that we had resized the prosumer business so that we would manage it to cash flow. It wouldn't imperil the wider group moving into positive cash flow. But at the same time, we maintain our enthusiasm towards the strategy and believe that we can still unlock the potential of this market within the much tighter cash flow management that we have across this business unit. And this prosumer business unit, it still grew 54% to $5.3 million in FY19. It had a 47% increase in units sold to almost 21,000. We are delivering these sales predominantly through online channels, which has been fantastic for the business. The two key things that this business unit has brought to the wider company is that Vector has taken huge advantage of a heap of industrial design learnings we've had from the prosumer unit, and also our go-to-market has improved because of the online channel learnings that have come from this prosumer business. And, you know, we just put in there also, like, this is a product that those who have and use this product feel extremely passionately about it, and we have an NPS score of almost 66%, and you can see some of the feedback across the internet, and I'd encourage anyone that's got an interest in the player product in particular to just Google it online and look at the quality of feedback that we're getting from customers. And so slide 13 is the last slide for me before I hand over to Jim, and he'll hand back to me subsequently. And this is the point that we want to make on this slide, is that all of this really strong 24% sales growth, 24% ARR growth, strongly moving into positive EBITDA, all of this has been achieved with some increase in sales and marketing that Jim will talk about, but fundamentally, as you can see from the technology and product staff numbers, which remain the largest single division of the company, we remain an innovation-led company with a heavy focus on R&D, and this is what continues to widen our leadership position in the market. And we are confident of being able to continue to innovate whilst at the same time, as I said, reducing the growth of our expense line. And so, you know, this is a real achievement for a business. And again, this is part of passing through that inflection point of scalability. And now, Jim, let me hand over to you for slide 14.
Okay. Thanks, Adir. Good morning, everyone. On slide 14, we present the summary income statement. As Adir mentioned, we continue to deliver strong revenue growth of 24% reported and 17% on a constant currency basis across all regions and product lines, in particular in Elite Wearables and Video. Recurring revenue was the major driver, with one-time sales of wearables, video products also contributing, and I'll show you a waterfall in a second. Reported ARR is up 24% and 18% on a constant currency basis. Gross margin declined due to increased costs associated with our legacy wearables devices, and we have launched our new wearables product, Vector, late last fiscal year. Gross margin was also impacted by the introduction of Playertech Plus and Playr products, so mix was an impact. Regarding operating costs, FY19 was a year of increased focus on achieving scale across the business, and as such, while we did continue to invest in our elite and consumer initiatives, we have held overall cost growth to just 9%. Regarding employment costs, this increased 12%, driven by hiring to support continued growth across all regions in sales, customer service, marketing, and new product development. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later. Travel and marketing and promotion costs grew in support of our lead growth, as well as due to the consumer business, some of which will not be recurring. Other operating costs went down mainly due to share-based payments. We will continue to focus on generating scale economies across the business in FY20 and expect to continue to deliver cost growth well below revenue growth in the future. And finally, EBIT and NPAT was impacted by an increase in D&A of $3 million due to investment in new products, offset somewhat by a reduction in tax expense. In summary, management and the board were pleased with the first positive EBITDA result in the year. Over the page on slide 15, I provide a little bit more detail on recurring revenue growth. On a reported basis, ARR CAGR since FY17 was just under 20%, or 17.3% on a constant currency basis. We expect recurring revenue to continue to drive the majority of our growth, driven by our new products, which are mainly sold on a subscription basis, such as Vision, AMS, and Vector. Continued focus on subscription upsell, which in the rest of the world means selling Vision to existing wearable customers, and in Americas means selling AMS to existing wearables and or video customers, such as the NCAA segment in the US. Over the page on slide 16, I provide a little more color into the breadth of our sales growth. We're growing across all regions and products in both recurring and non-recurring sales bases. While the recurring wearable and video revenue represented $12 million of our $18.6 million year-on-year growth, non-recurring sales and prosumer represented the other one-third. So while the majority of our revenue is of a recurring nature, we also sell on a capital model in the wearable space, and one-off hardware sales in Elite Video are complementary to subscription sales as well. On page 17, I provided a bit more color on our Elite Video product offerings. Our Elite Video business is made up of a majority subscription coaching solution service. This represents about 55% of total revenue and drives high margin recurring revenue. Coaching solutions also pulls through hardware sales where required by the customer, and this represents about 20% of the total video revenue, but delivers a lower margin as we're reselling hardware infrastructure and on-premises equipment required for that subscription service. In the middle, our content licensing product, which is a standalone offer, while it has a low cost of delivery, we do bear high cost of sales represented by royalty fees. So in thinking about Catapult's Elite Video business, I think of three elements. First is a stable and growing high margin subscription product line, mainly in Americas right now. Second is a large and well-funded low churn customer base. available to cross-sell wearables and AMS, available to cross-sell wearables and AMS, and third, with the expansion of our video vision product, the opportunity to grow video globally. On slide 18, I provide more detail on our Elite Wearables business. Catapult has continued to deliver growth across subscription and capital sales of wearables. This slide shows our leading market position with 38,000 total Elite units in the market, of which 21,000 are on subscription. We sold 15,700 units in FY19, up 67% last year, supported by the introduction of PlayerTech Plus. Excluding PlayerTech Plus, gross sales were up 4% to 9,800 units, compared to 9,400 last year. Elite subscription unit growth was 5,600 units, up from 5,300 last year, or 5%. Churn declined, as the deal previously reported, and Elite's subscription unit ARPU was stable at $108. We believe that the addition of PlayerTech Plus to our product portfolio has enabled us to address a large market segment that presents a potential upsell opportunity for Catapult in the future. On slide 19, the purpose of this is to show how we've invested in capturing the growth opportunities that are presented to us around the world. On the left-hand side, I provided FY19 revenue growth versus growth in regional headcount. Overall, what you see is that headcount growth is lower than revenue. But the bigger point is that we grew our headcount where we saw the opportunity. So in the Americas, where we have a strong video footprint, we added 10% headcount to deliver 19% revenue growth. In EMEA, where we're relatively less penetrated, we added more headcount, or 27%, and delivered 44% revenue growth. Conversely, in Australia, where we're well penetrated, we added fewer heads. And finally, in Asia, the market's just emerging, so we're entering in a measured way and also leveraging distributors. We've grown heads by 7%, but delivered strong revenue growth off a low base. The pie chart on the right shows the distribution of our global revenue. The main point here is our large, growing, and low churn customer base in Americas, which represents almost 70% total. On slide 20, I provide a breakdown of where we spent our capital expenditure in FY19, just to show that we continue to focus on the development of the Elite performance stack. We've spent in a few different areas. First, supporting and enhancing our existing products, such as our existing video and new products such as AMS, Player, and Vision. And second, on investing to achieve our stated strategy to own the Elite performance stack in the future. In addition, you can see on this slide what we spent in the consumer hardware, software, PP&E, and in capitalized cost of goods sold. Finally, on slide 21, for me, I present a cash flow bridge. So here I provided a simple waterfall showing the change in cash in the fiscal year to show which elements were one-off and which were not. We started FY19 with $31.7 million cash in the bank and $3.5 million in debt. In FY19, we spent just over $15 million in three areas, which I would describe as one-off or non-recurring. The first was a one-off increase in hiring ahead of the curve to drive sales and product growth globally. Secondly, we spent $3.5 million to repay our debt. And thirdly, in prosumer, we spent about $7 million to support the introduction of the consumer product PlayR. After these one-off cash outlays, our cash balance stood at $16.6 million. On the recurring or ongoing side, we spent $14.88 million of investing cash flows, as per previous slide, and we also generated cash inflows of greater than $10 million, mainly driven from ongoing operating parts of our business during the year. And this landed us at $11.7 million as at June 30. As you can see on the right, our current cash balance as at 16th of August, which is last Friday, is $21.5 million. And this was as expected. This was driven by net seasonal collections of large customers across the Northern Hemisphere. We have very good visibility of our seasonal cash profile during the year, and our expectation going forward is that this will continue. Overall, we expect cash performance to improve as we tightly control expenditure in line with our goal of achieving positive cash flow. Thank you, and I'll turn it back over to Adir.
Thanks very much, Jim. So on slide 22, I want to provide a recap of the really strong performance that we achieved in FY19. It would be remiss of me not to say that this performance was achieved as we continue with our global executive search for a new highly capable CEO and move to bring that to a close. And this really strong performance included, as I've said many times, not just a move into our first positive EBITDA, but a really strong move into our first positive EBITDA, and the signing of 1,100 teams. And if you look at the information that Jim has just presented, the quality of revenue that we are generating in this business is extremely strong. So we've provided some deeper clarity into the video business, which I think is a really important step to improving the understanding of the drivers of this company. And it is the recurring revenue, the software part of the business, that is the part of the business that we are building on and we are driving with Catapult Vision. And we've said that we've made first sales, and those sales are not just in the US, which is where our traditional market is, they're to international teams as well. And in the release that we put up on the ASX, you can see that as well as NFL teams like the Oakland Raiders and Washington Redskins, we've got teams like AFC Bournemouth and the Sydney Kings and Al-Shabaab FC and a heap of others around the world that are now coming onto the Catapult Vision product, and that's tremendously exciting for us. And on the wearable side, we made a decision that given the very large greenfields addressable market, that we felt there was an opportunity to bring a product in that more rapidly captured some of the lower level elite teams, and that was the purpose of PlayerTech Plus. And that has been extremely successful for us in FY19. Keeping in mind, it was only launched in FY19. That has driven us to record elite sales growth and sales numbers. And all of the numbers are seeing accelerating growth. So even the sales excluding PlayerTech Plus are seeing accelerating sales, wearable sales numbers. The subscription sales are seeing accelerating growth. We are seeing accelerating growth across the company. And as I said, our ARR grew 24% to $66.1 million. Our revenue is almost at $100 million, at $95.4 million. That was also 24% growth, contrasted with falling OPEX growth from 14% to just 9%. Falling elite subscription wearable churn from 8.4% to 5.2%, and all of those new product and product enhancements that we've been able to put into the market at the same time as achieving these very strong results. It's just been a remarkable year, FY19, for Catapult. And finally, if we move to page 23, I'd like to provide some clarity around some of the outlook for FY20. So to be crystal clear about this, the board continues to expect strong revenue growth from this business, and that scalability inflection point will continue to reduce our operating expense growth. So that gap between revenue growth and expense growth, we expect expense growth to continue falling, and that is what is driving us rapidly towards the positive free cash flow that we are aiming for. Just to be clear, we, and I'm sure that this is clear to everyone, we are strong believers and highly committed to subscription sales and ARR growth, because this is what drives high quality, high margin revenue and long-term value for shareholders. And we see three key drivers that will continue to drive this revenue growth. Greenfield sales to a very large number of teams that are not currently using performance technology. Upselling to existing clients who are not at their full capacity within the products they already subscribed to or purchased, and a huge cross-sell opportunity across the stack to those 2,800 existing teams that are using only one product. And now I'd like to finish by being really deliberate about our focus on free cash flow. So we reiterate our commitment to positive free cash flow by FY21, and we are extremely focused as a business on bringing that number forward, and our executives are aligned to that focus as well. And with $21 million cash on hand on the 16th of August 2019 and the growing operating leverage, the inflection point that I spoke about, we are well capitalized to take the company through to being cash flow positive. So those are the end of the comments from us, and I'd now like to hand over to Rishi, who will open up for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Again, it is star 1. And we have the first question from the line of Chris Savage from Bell Potter. You may now ask your question.
Good morning and thank you. Adia, as much as I like you being acting CEO, can we get an update on the search for a new permanent appointment?
Absolutely. So thank you for the compliment on that. So as we've said before, we've got Mitchell Lake running an international executive search. We've been really happy with the quality of candidates that have been enthusiastic about doing this role. It's never easy to conduct, you know, a CEO search for any company. A public company is particularly difficult. But for Catapult, you know, we've had the added challenge, which is that we are the leader in the sports performance technology space globally. And it means that we've largely exhausted the talent pool from this industry and have needed to look outside the industry for some very particular skills, such as, you know, some experience in technology, experience with scaling a business, international experience, and so forth. And so that's been, you know, an engaging process, frankly. And so, you know, we continue to work to bring that to a close. It is certainly our focus and the number one focus of me and the board to, you know, bringing a high-quality CEO in. But, you know, to be very blunt and candid, this is a really important appointment, particularly with the relatively short tenure previously, and we can't afford to get this wrong. And so, you know, that is why it's taken slightly longer than I'd hoped. And again, I'm all in favour of candour on this. But we're confident of bringing this to a close, and we're confident that we will put the right person in place and that it will be a real positive for Catapult, and also the market will see it as a positive as well.
So we can expect in the coming weeks or months?
Yes, I think it's difficult for us to put a hard time frame on this because, you know, it's a process where we work through shortlists and effectively, you know, super focused on not being rushed and appointing the right person. But it is the number one focus that we have as a business, and we are as focused, certainly as you are and as shareholders are, on making sure that we get a high-quality CEO into this seat, you know, as quickly as we possibly can without compromising on the quality of that person. And, you know, to be clear, that search has looked both here in Australia and also particularly in North America for a potential CEO. And we're moving towards the end of that process.
Okay. Can I get the board's current thinking on the prosumer business? Because I guess the unit sales growth fell short of the guidance. I know you talked about Playtech Plus coming out, but is the board fully behind the business, or is it time to maybe look at moving on perhaps?
So Playtech Plus, just to be clear, is an elite product. And so the board's view on the prosumer business is this. You know, we provided guidance at the end of January and in February that we were not going to reach the initial guidance that we put out, and we were really clear and open and candid again about how we were going to run this business, and effectively we were going to run it as a smaller business because the level of maturity in that market was earlier, and that is the way we're running it. We're pleased with the performance of that business at the moment. It's being run on a very low-risk basis, particularly to cash, but we're seeing some real positives from that business, such as, you know, the level of engagement and the players that are using it are having, and we're comfortable that this still represents a significant strategic opportunity to the business in terms of the TAM, and we can ensure that we keep that optionality without risking cash flow and positive cash flow on a low risk basis, but also that there are some benefits that it accrues to the broader business as well. So yes, the board is completely behind it, and we're comfortable with the low risk way that we are maintaining the optionality in that business unit.
Okay. And last question, probably more so for Jim. Both you and Adir said a number of times you're confident expense growth will be falling going forward. So if it grew 9% in FY19, can we assume it's going to be growing low mid-single digits in FY20?
Yeah, so Chris, you know, obviously we're not guiding specific numbers, but I think we've been pretty candid to say that expense growth rate will not be higher than where we are today. And we've got a plan, and as Adir mentioned, the whole executive team is completely aligned to that plan, which is in place now. So we don't have a specific number, but the trend is going to be the same.
And you can definitely assume that falling means lower than that 9.
Okay. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you. The next question we have is from the line of Piers Flanagan from Bellevue. You may now ask your question.
Morning, Adir. Morning, Jim. Just a couple from me, if I can. It looks like the second half, or just on the wearable side, the second half sales look pretty strong. Are you able to just provide a bit more colour on where some of those unit sales came from?
I'll take that question. I mean, you know, those unit sales were across the board. So really, the thing that didn't contribute significantly to H2 unit sales, I'm happy to say in some ways, because of the implication on FY20 is Vector, because it was a relatively new product. And I said we've seen some good momentum going into FY20 on Vector. But really, you know, we saw strong unit sales across the board, and you saw that from the results. So we saw good growth in Player Tech Plus, or good sales in Player Tech Plus, not growth, because it was new this year. But you also saw that we had accelerating growth in units across the general non-Player Tech Plus elite business as well. So, you know, I think like with geographies and like with sports, what we're seeing is growth across the whole portfolio of products that we have, and with a skew towards subscription, I'm happy to say.
Sure. And can you just write, is Player Tech Plus, is that on subscription or is that just capital sales?
So at the moment, the majority sold on capital sales because it's new. A small number were sold on subscription, but you know the business philosophy and strategy of this company. We like recurring revenue, and so, you know, we can make the assumption that, you know, that's a typical way that we will often bring a new product to market, but, you know, medium term, we're a subscription-focused company.
Sure. And just on back on sort of that new, or the prosumer segment there, sort of the segment EBITDA line, sort of a loss of $6 million this year. You know, I know you don't want to sort of quantify, but sort of going forward, is that sort of around the right number in terms of sort of cost growth and units growth?
So, Jim, do you want to provide
at the EBITDA line?
Yeah, so the lion's share of that number is in the business that we resized, right? So that's the consumer, the player part of that business. So we're expecting to see that improve.
Sure.
Honestly.
And then just on slide 10, when you talked about that cross-sell opportunity, do you have a feel with sort of those 2,000 teams that you have, teams that already have other products, I guess, sort of vision with another provider, or is it sort of the cross-sell opportunity to teams that, say, don't have the three products at all?
So some of it is genuine greenfields. AMS certainly is more greenfields. Like, the biggest competitor to AMS is people just using Excel, frankly. But certainly with some of the video, like, there are some solutions in the market that teams are using at the moment. We feel very confident that the huge advantage that we can provide in workflow by having a system that integrates with our wearable offering, like, that provides a material advantage to those teams. And so for us, that is the real opportunity of video cross-sell. But it would be a mischaracterization to say none of those 2,800 teams has any video product today.
Sure. And then finally, just on the investment, can you give sort of the split between what's expensed and what's capitalised out of that $15
million? Jim?
That's all capitalised. So that
and is that in line with historical years?
Slightly up in FY19, driven by the new product introduction of Vision, finishing the Vector product, and a little bit in there that you can see on AMS and consumer. But it's mainly in the Elite stack.
No worries. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. The next question we have is from the line of Ivor Hughes from Morgan Financial. You may now ask your question.
Yes, good morning, Adir, and good morning, Jim. On the Vector, I've not been very close to that product. Sort of roughly what sort of a premium in terms of price point do you get over the next ranked device in your stack?
So we haven't provided that information into the market, but certainly we've forecast and we're seeing that as a premium device from a price point ARPU point of view. And it is a step above. Like, it's virtually an ultra-premium device. It's the only device that that is proven to work indoors and outdoors. It comes with a garment that means you don't need to wear a heart rate strap. So there are material benefits to that, and we feel confident that we'll be able to maintain a premium pricing over that, but we haven't released that information into the market.
Are we talking 20% above the next one or 50%? Or I just need to get some sort of feel for how it's priced.
So certainly it's not going to be 50% above the existing device. And, you know, you should see it as incremental pricing to that that existing product. And for us, what's just as important as, you know, increasing the ARPU with that Vector device is getting this device in to continue to grow that greenfield market that we have, or to upgrade teams that are using S5s, for example, onto Vector. And that gives us also the cross-sell opportunity once we're in those teams. But certainly, you know, it would be a mistake to anticipate that that's going to be a 50% price premium to the existing market.
Right. And I see you wrote off about $3 million, I think, on old devices people were trading in. So we should expect to see more of that trading cost in the balance sheet this year.
Jim, do you want to answer that?
Yep. So I think there's a bit of that. I think what we're going to see in real life is that customers are going to be incentivized to trade up to Vector. And we did bear some of the cost of that this year, but you know, a lot of these devices will be coming off subscription and customers will be having to do that trade up. So yes, that trend isn't going to stop as we trade out from Optimi, which is a pretty mature product, and trade up into Vector going forward. On an overall basis, I would just say, kind of in support of what Adir just said on Vector, you know, we are premium pricing that, but it's really all about discounting the value that the customer gets out of it, and it's a completely new technology with a lot more use cases. But on an overall kind of gross margin basis, you know, I'm seeing a stable gross margin profile, and that's also impacted by just mix, right? So we'll have more prosumer and more Player Tech Plus units in the mix going forward, and that's intentional. That's what we want it to be.
Yeah. In terms of your ARPU during the year being stable, there was a bit of a bit of a bump in the ARPU in the halfway through the year, and now we're back to the previous year. And I just wondered, you know, what happened there. You know, if we go back to your half yearly presentation, your ARPU on your lease devices rose, and then end of year it's back again. I just wondered whether there was just some calculation things going on there. The December 18 ARPU was quoted as about 115, and now we're back to 108. So I just wondered what changes happened there. Is it just a change in methodology, or?
No, there's been, so this is Jim, there's been no change in methodology. I think, as Adir mentioned, we had scheduled the Vector release for kind of early in the calendar year. We actually delivered it toward the end of May, June, you know, end of the fiscal year. So there's a bit of mix effect on, you know, the cost of sales drivers there driving down mix. But no, there's been no change in methodology. On an overall basis, it's been pretty stable.
Yeah.
And nothing much happened in the second half versus the first half other than, you know, normal seasonality, greater sales in the second half versus first.
Yeah. And if I might ask another couple of questions before I move on, there's 1,100 new teams that came on. Can you provide us with the split between Elite and Player Tech Plus on that?
So Player Tech Plus is part of the Elite stack, and so we haven't broken out those teams, but you know, a very, very substantial number of those teams are Elite teams, and.
Yeah.
This is not a number that is kind of jacked up by, you know, two players buying a player device, et cetera. That's not in that mix. So, you know, you should assume that the heavy skew of that is towards Elite.
Yeah. And over the course of FY19, you were probably tracking how you're going in the marketplace, the various competitors there are out there. Now, do you know roughly what percentage of contested tenders you were winning?
You know, so we've got some internal numbers around that, and like the answer is it's the vast majority, and in the past we've said 70 to 80% of those contested tenders end up going our way. And, you know, I make this broad comment on competitors. Because we're such a leader in the areas in which we operate, everybody else in those areas sees us as their biggest competitor and, you know, can be fixated on us from time to time. And the truth is that we are so successful in these spaces in terms of, you know, winning the lion's share of the available deals and teams, that but competitive activity is not really a significant determinant of our sales growth. It's much more about our internal execution, bringing the right product to the market and the innovation pipeline. And certainly that's what we continue to see in FY19. And, you know, I anticipate that will be the experience that we have going forward as long as, you know, we continue to execute well and continue to innovate.
Great. If I might ask just one last one, just on your CapEx assumptions for this year, sort of roughly the same as last year?
It is, Jim, yes. That'll be pretty stable.
Fantastic. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And the next question we have is from the line of Owen Humphries from Canaccord. Your line is now open. Mr. Humphries, your line is now open.
Hello, guys. Can you hear me?
Yep, can hear you now.
All right, my headset. So two questions from me. Firstly, in the past, you guys have provided more detail or talked about the addressable market in which you operate in. Can you maybe just provide, well, I can't see it here, but maybe just talk about the product acceptance at the margin. Are you finding, obviously, the second half is a very strong sales period for the Elite business. Are you finding it, in the US particular, a little bit easier to sell? I know you guys increased your headcount there in the sales and marketing team during FY19, but are you finding the opportunity set's getting larger as you guys become more well known and this product's more accepted?
So certainly, you know, we've had no change to the TAM that we've put forward. 10,000 teams, 180,000 athletes at the elite level. Playtech Plus has been fantastic because it's given our teams something to sell at the bottom part of that pyramid in those 10,000 elite teams. And that's been one of the reasons that we've had, you know, this kind of record sales number for the elite wearables business. And we released some information a couple of weeks ago about passing 1,000 teams in North America in the FY19 fiscal year. But at the same time, we said that, you know, despite some really impressive penetration that we've had into the NCAA college market, the total addressable market there is absolutely enormous, even compared to the number of teams we have, and the majority of those teams still have one product. So we absolutely don't see the business anywhere near touching the size of the addressable market now, and we don't think that the TAM is going to be, you know, any kind of rate limiter to the growth of the business in the near or medium term. You know, in terms of the ease of selling, frankly, if you develop new products and put them into market, that makes it easier for salespeople to sell. We're confident about the impact of Vector, and I said we've had some nice momentum going into FY20 for Vector. We are confident about the ability to have a Catapult Vision product that lets us sell video, not just to more countries, but across more international sports. So what we're trying to do with that innovation pipeline is, yeah, that's absolutely right, like make it easier and easier for our teams in the field to sell, because we're addressing more parts of the available market with products that are superior to competitor products.
Okay. And just looking at the balance sheet, I noticed the receivable balance continues to grind higher. Just maybe touch on the reason why the receivable is quite high, given this is normally a recurring base business with people paying up front. Do they pay up front to the product? And the second to that is, just notice the accrued revenue building up on the balance sheet. Can you just maybe just touch on the reason for that increase?
Jim, do you want to answer those questions?
Yeah, so receivables is just pure seasonality. So, and this is really a Northern Hemisphere story, and it kind of mirrors or it leads the cash story, right? So at the end of the fiscal year, June period in particular, in the NFL and the NCAA segment, that's kind of their budget cycle as they move into the football season in North America. So that's the answer on receivables. And on what was the second question on deferred revenue?
Accrued revenue, there's a delta of $3 million between FY19 and FY18. I'm just curious as to, is that just due to the strong sales period in fourth quarter, or is just touch on that?
Yeah, that's just driven off invoicing in arrears, and again, I think that's seasonal and typical for us.
Okay, no worries. All right, thanks, guys. Well done.
Thank you. We have the last question from the line of Charlotte Paul from ETP Asset Management. Your line is now open.
Morning, guys. Just one question, gross margin declines. You mentioned earlier just a product mix shift, and then in the presentation it talks about replacement devices, et cetera. Can we just step away from that and look at the Elite business itself? Are gross margins stable there? Are they improving?
Yeah, stable. This is Jim. Definitely stable in the Elite business. That the mix effect that I mentioned, driven by Claritech Plus, which is an Elite product, will continue to impact. But that's going to be offset somewhat by what we think are going to be, you know, good results as the Vector product really starts to gain momentum. And I think, as Adir mentioned, that just started to kick in at the end of the fiscal year.
And, you know, I'd add to that that, you know, the delay in releasing Vector to the market meant that, like, the S5s, which were coming towards end of life, you know, we had to do some things like replace some batteries, et cetera, and that will be alleviated now that Vector is in the market. So that had some impact as well.
Okay. And then next question, just lower churn rates. I'm guessing the cost of customer acquisition is coming down. Is that a fair point? And, you know, for us to try and get a sense of where that sits, would you say that that would be proportional to sort of travel marketing promotion expenses across the group, or is it lower than the group?
Yeah, I think the two big drivers that you know are factored into acquisition in this Elite business, because you know this Elite business has the sales characteristics, particularly towards the top end, are kind of a B2B sales process. So there's, you know, predominantly it's the cost of salespeople out in the market with some marketing around the fringes. And, you know, we are seeing accelerating sales, as you correctly said. And so, you know, largely the cost of sales is linked to the salespeople we have in market. We're lucky, as you know, that our cost of sales relative to the lifetime value of the customer is extremely, extremely attractive. And we would anticipate that we would continue to see some positives in terms of those cost of sales as we continue to grow.
Okay, and then just on the sales and marketing team, given the merger in video and wearables, could we assume that then the sales and marketing team, as a cost, we can just apply that sort of ratio to the wearables business to kind of sort of try and work out what the cost of customer acquisition starts to look like? Is it a decent proxy?
The way I think about that is, you know, as we said, we hired ahead of the curve in FY19 in sales, marketing, you know, sports science, customer support, and that is still going to drive productivity, sales productivity growth into FY20. So that line you should think of as you know, more stable going into the future in your modeling, versus what we experienced last year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to hand the conference back to today's presenters. Please continue.
Well, thanks everyone for the time, and you know, it's a pleasure to present these results to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.